Sky presents Save the Cinema, a Sky original audio described by Neville Watchhurst. The spinning cogs of the headgear logo appear. Out from black screen flicker pink neon capitals forming the Future Artists Entertainment logo. The lip-sync logo shines out in silvery capitals. Ribbons of green curl into place to form the Film Cymru Wales logo. Beneath the following music, close-ups show the complex sequence of processes required to prepare for the projection of an old-fashioned celluloid film. Credits appear: Samantha Morton, Tom Felton, Adil Akhtar, Erin Richards, Owain Yeoman, Owen Teal, Jason Hughes. Introducing Joe Hurst, Harry Luke and Flynn Edwards, with Susan Wacoma, with Colm Meaney and Jonathan Price, music by Stephen Warbeck. The cogs of the projector now whir and shafts of light fan out from the projection booth window. A large mosaic depicts figures fishing in coracles below the name Lyric. The title Save the Cinema appears along with the caption Inspired by a True Story. Carmarthen New School Second Form Play, 1964.
Don't you just love these long, rainy afternoons in New Orleans? When an hour isn't just an hour, but a little piece of eternity dropped into your hands, and who knows what to do with it. You didn't get wet in the rain. Perhaps you stepped inside the drugstore.
I just don't think it's the kind of thing our children should be exposed to.
Listen, as teachers, we must protect our children from many things. Great art isn't one of them. Now sit down. You're embarrassing your daughter. Come on.
Stella! Stella!
She ain't coming down, so you quit.
Stella!
I've been on to you from the start. Not once did you pull any wool over this boy's eyes. You come in here and sprinkle the place with powder and spray
perfume. What you're talking about is brutal desire. Just a desire. The name of that rattletrap streetcar that bangs through the quarter. Up one old narrow street and down another.
We've seen quite enough. Oh.
How is it for you, Mrs. Griffiths, huh? Living in blissful ignorance. Is it better or worse than quiet desperation?
I don't want realism. I want magic.
Good night, Mother.
Yes. Yes, magic. I try to give that to people. Whoever you are, I have always depended on the kindness of strangers.
A young boy in the cast watches from the stage left wings across to the right, where the girl playing Stella stretches up on tiptoe in her heels to kiss the boy playing Stanley. Her gauzy dress transforms into solid fabric as now a grown woman, she is kissing the cheek of a bearded man.
What's that for?
Yes, I'm really nervous. Focus. Breathe. Mean what you say.
The nervous young actress steels herself and walks out onto a stage striped with the light of innumerable white bulbs. A caption reads, Carmarthen Youth Opera at the Lyric Cinema, 1993. The lights come up on a large chorus of young women in white afro wigs and a young man wearing a spectacularly spangled and tasseled silvery costume. They spread their arms wide, and the young man begins his solo as the flayed Christ makes his way towards Calvary. Beneath this, a young cast member winches Christ on his stage cross into position. A shower of golden foil strips is dropped from the flies. The audience leap to their feet. The woman and the bearded man applaud and whistle from the wings.
Have you had enough now? Come on, then.
Set, looking lovely with you, David.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Jones. Worked hard on those.
When you finally get round to building my extension, I'll be expecting the same high standards.
Well, I'm not going to make any promises, but for you, I'll try my very best, all right?
You must be so busy, Mayor Jenkins.
Oh, busy. Fantastic.
No, fair play for you to take the time to come and encourage the children.
Wasn't she the best thing in it?
Oh, definitely. You look dead on your feet.
I am, ma'am. Appreciating people's hard work.
Well, we'll head home shortly.
Can we go home soon?
Yes, I said we will. Okay. We'll be home shortly. Mr. Morgan!
Oh, I shall see you again. Bye-bye now.
Mr. Morgan, did you enjoy the show?
Oh, very much, yes, yes. Who was the boy who played Caiaphas, the high priest?
Oh, that's Nick. He was a real handful when he first came to the club. He's had a real tough time of it, you know. His dad... You know, he's in jail for burglary.
Yeah.
And his mum likes her trick, you know. But he never missed a rehearsal. I'm sure you would have liked something grittier than Lloyd Webber.
I don't want realism. I want magic.
I remember that line from Streetcar.
Yeah, I remember you putting Vivian Leigh to shame.
Stop it. Well, let's come for dinner one night.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was watching the faces of the children when they were performing. They were transported. Right? They believe in magic.
This place was fabulous, wasn't it?
Oh, it's David, no.
Hey, Mr. Morgan, you right?
Yeah, grand. I was just telling your wife. She should be very proud of herself.
Oh, dear from far.
Yeah? Anyway, I'll be off. I'll see you both soon, all right?
Master.
I'm going to push off as well, love. I've got to be working 4 hours.
I know, but...
Mark!
Oh. Hi, Mr. Morgan.
That was wonderful, wasn't it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it.
Jesus!
Oh, your mum's calling. All right.
Good to see you, Mr. Morgan. Peace be with you.
You can drop the Stanislavski method now.
What are you drinking, Mum? Can I have one?
No, you bloody well can't. It's mine. I'm not being funny, but you nearly gave Leila coronary.
Huh?
Well, in the interval, she saw Jesus with his tongue down Mary Magdalene's throat outside the co-op. I doubt she'll ever recover from that one.
I wasn't. It wasn't, Mum.
Who was it then?
It was Gwyneth Jones.
Oh, that's all right then. But just not in the Jesus costume, eh?
Right, ma'am. I'll see you at home.
Ta-da!
On a modest high street stands a hair salon. Inside, Liz Evans, Mark's mother, pins up a poster of Jesus Christ Superstar on a wall covered with other production posters. A woman sits reading a magazine.
Do you know, I thought the kids were brilliant last night.
Oh, I know.
So, what are you going to put on next?
Give me a break. I'm still knackered from this one. But I have been thinking, you know, about challenging them just a little bit more. Midsummer Night's Dream?
Not that one. Way too scary.
It's not scary.
It is when you watch it on acid.
Found that out on a school trip. Thought it would be fun. Instead, it scared the life out of me. Since that day, I've never watched Shakespeare again.
Wouldn't it make more sense to never do acid again?
No.
Oh. Carol!
Just give it a trim. Nothing fancy. I'll be back in an hour.
Okay.
Take a seat, love. No need to be scared. Go for it.
The rather straight-laced woman leaves her daughter with Liz, who sits the girl in the chair and, spotting her catching the eye of a surly-looking boy passing the shop window, leans down conspiratorially.
So, what do you really want?
The girl flicks her eyebrows upwards. Mayor Jenkins arrives at what appears to be the town hall and races up the stairs to the rhythm of the music in his earphones. He raises his right fist in a gesture of triumph. He shimmies on upwards, gesticulating theatrically.
I pictured a rainbow.
Morning.
Reining himself in momentarily, he now resumes his high-octane dancing.
Morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mayor.
Can I get a coffee, please?
Susan smiles long-sufferingly at Jenkins's condescending conceit. He heads into his office and she follows a few moments after. Back at the salon.
Hiya. That'll be £5, please, Mrs. Pritchett.
Mrs. Pritchard's mouth falls open on seeing her daughter's wadge of dowdy hair now transformed into an electric pink bob.
Lovely day, isn't it?
You coming, Mum?
Mrs. Pritchard follows, too shocked to speak.
Well, Liz.
Susan, the mayor's secretary, is at work at her desk. A hatch window in her office gives out onto a waiting room where sits a man. He glances away as she looks up towards him.
Cup of tea or coffee?
I'm fine, thank you. Susan Leonard. We were at school together. I was in the year below you. I remember you were one of the really clever ones. Didn't you go to Oxford?
Cambridge, actually.
I was completely useless at school, bottom of every class. It wasn't until I was 17 they realised that I was hopelessly dyslexic, so...
So you decided to become a postman?
Odd choice, I know. People still wonder how Mrs. Williams found out her husband was having an affair with an next-door neighbour.
No.
Didn't you get engaged to David Llewellyn?
I did, yes.
I remember thinking he was a lovely boy.
Mm, yeah, I thought so too. Till I caught him shagging my best friend from uni.
Ready now.
Coming.
She leads the man through to where the mayor sits in his office, combing his moustache in a small mirror.
Richard Goodrich.
Oh, Richard Goodrich.
Hello, Mayor.
Hey, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
I knew your father, of course. I remember him telling me he was studying Welsh history.
That's right, yes. For the last 7 years now, at the Open University.
This just came to you.
My plan is to become a teacher, isn't it? I almost have my qualification, then, you know, my father had his heart attack.
The mayor takes delivery of some fine cut glass.
Oh, yeah. Terrible shock to all of us.
Thank you. Yeah. He loved this town. Before he died, he made me promise that I would finish off his hard work he started. Setting up an adult education centre.
Oh, Emily and I have been banging on about that for years. Said in this changing world, people need the chance to retrain for new careers.
Absolutely, yeah. I have a couple...
Richard. You listening, son?
He lays a hand on the case of whiskey tumblers.
The trick to getting things done around here is to build alliances. Huh? Do you have any plans this Saturday afternoon?
No plans, no.
We're having a few people over for drinks at the golf club, very informal.
Right.
But all the councillors will be there and you'll be able to start to get them on side.
Oh, lovely. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Look forward to it.
Oh, Martin, sorry to keep you.
How are you? Yeah, I just walked in.
Hey, thanks for the gift.
Oh, yeah. Now, this... is where I want to put the new shopping centre.
Right. Next to the Lyric?
No, on the site of the Lyric. After we demolish it.
But the place is still being used as a cinema.
It was showing films that nobody wants to see. When was the last time you were there?
Well, I saw the youth opera there last night with my daughter. Their show's only every few months. No, you're right. I haven't seen a film there in ages.
Precisely. They'll be bankrupt in a year. And you will be stuck with a ruin in the middle of town instead of a vibrant commercial centre that will turn Carmarthen into a destination location. And what's good for Carmarthen is good for you. If we can do this, your share options will go through the roof.
Hmm.
And be able to retire early. Live like a king.
Yeah.
Martin sits back with the drink he has poured himself.
You do know Solicitor Billy?
Well, you can fix that. For a fee.
Yeah. Place is falling apart. Might even be a danger to anyone inside.
You're right. Now it's at its day.
Yeah.
So, you'll sort out the zoning and planning permissions, hmm?
Yeah.
I'll get out my checkbook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mayor Jenkins lights himself a cigar. Liz walks along the street and past the gracious pillared entrance to the Lyric Cinema. At the salon.
Morning, Dolly.
Oh, I have to ask you to keep your voice down, Liz. I'm hanging.
Go and have a kip. I'll be fine.
Oh, you're a lifesaver, thank you.
Susan! It's been forever.
Oh, I know, I'm sorry. I'm in a bit of a rush. Will you just do a quick trim?
Yeah. Thank you. Your mum was in last week. She's worried. Going to move to the other side of the world?
I applied for a job in Cardiff. It's an hour away, and I doubt I'll even get it. You know, I've always wanted a career in politics. I thought being the mayor's executive assistant would be a good first step. Turns out our mayor thinks a woman, even one with a law degree, is only capable of filing and answering phones.
Well, you know, he always was a bit odd. It's because he feels threatened by women. Probably because he realises we should be the ones running the world.
Well, we couldn't do a worse job than them, could we?
No. You going anywhere special?
I wish. The mayor's invited me to drinks at the golf club. I'm only going because Kenny's my best friend. God knows why she married him. Sorry, that was a bit harsh.
But true.
Richard Goodridge arrives at what seems to be the golf club with its wood-panelled walls and framed boards inscribed with winners' names. He heads up the stairs.
Richard! Made it. Welcome. Come here. Isn't my wife, Kerry? Kerry, this is Richard. Newest addition to the town council.
And our postman, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, thanks.
No, come on. There's some people I want you to meet. Nearly all the councillors are here. Oh! Follow on.
Hello.
Nice. Go on.
You know what I like about Richard? Him and the master. The way your face lit up on that Lyric stage, I bloody nearly converted on the spot.
This is Derek. He's Carmarthen's answer to Leon Trotsky, only more left-wing. Want you to meet our newest councillor, Richard Goodrich.
How are you doing? All right? Oh, Emmeline's boy.
You knew my dad?
Aye. He spoke about you often.
Come on, you. Let's go.
Right.
And on the nationalist end of the spectrum, this is Alec. He's a firm advocate of the watchtowers and the razor wires along the border, anyway.
And don't forget the machine guns. Welcome to Carmarthen's Corridors of Power. Yeah, hey.
Thanks.
Come on, I want to introduce Richard to the councillors who aren't on the lunatic fringe. Come on.
Richard spots Susan talking to Kerry.
I know. Oh, my God.
I wasn't there.
No, you were. It's fine, Erin. Come on.
Is she... single?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
The last office Christmas party had a few too many. I had a crack, but she was having none of it.
Huh.
So I think she might be a lesbian. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm going to go talk to a good friend of mine.
Oh, yes.
And you're going to help yourself to some nibbles. You okay?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Off you go. Good.
Richard heads off, stopping as if in surprise at the vulgarly lavish buffet. Liz talks to a bunch of youth opera kids.
Christ, superstar. Anyone got any ideas about what we put on next?
Mum, you always do this. You ask us to vote, then you overrule us, OK? Stop pretending this is a democracy because it's a dictatorship.
A benevolent dictatorship.
Mum, we don't care. We already know what we're doing next, so just, you know, tell us.
Yeah, tell us.
It's exciting, isn't it? The next production that we're going to put on in the Lyric is going to be...
Mum.
Oliver! Yay! Auditions start on Monday.
He's a swing vote.
I know. I've done the numbers.
Well, you better keep him close.
Can I leave my bag down here, Pete?
Hiya.
Oh, hiya. Thank you.
I love what you've done with your hair. It looks gorgeous.
Thank you. Danny tells me you have got a master's in history from the Auckland University. It's very impressive.
Wow. Thank you very much. Medieval is my real passion, but I love it all, really. Do you know, Cambridge
Richard,
University
sorry,
has a... Richard, can I drag you away for a minute?
I have to get going anyway, but I'd love to hear more about that at some point.
I just wanted to go through the schedule for your first council meeting on Monday. Now, we always start with the most boring stuff. Reading the minutes of the last meeting, approving the accounts, that kind of thing.
So, how are you, sir?
Good. Good. Thank you, Tina. Quick, all the way down again.
At the meeting.
Morning, Mayor Jenkins.
Also tedious. Nobody bothers to argue. Then we move on to the reports and the recommendations of various committees. This is a little bit more interesting, but it can lead to a lot of arguments. I have a proposal here for a shopping centre in the middle of the town. This will bring jobs and money to Carmarthen, and I think we should all get behind it.
Where in the middle of town?
The Lyric Theatre. What? This is my passion project. Come in. That old cinema slowly falling apart, quickly going out of business. Nobody goes there anymore.
Lyric? Not even the kids?
No, they're all into their skateboarding now, isn't it? I'm planning to build them a special place for that in the park. No, this is a golden opportunity to bring jobs and life back to Carmarthen. It's about securing the future of our town. It's what Hamlin would have wanted.
This is outrageous!
Call the vote! All those opposed!
Aye.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Goodrich.
Susan glares.
Aye.
I declare the motion carried.
I'd do anything for you, dear. Anything, I know that. Everything to me. I know that I'd go anywhere for your smile. Anywhere for your smile. Everywhere I'd see. Would you climb a hill? Anything.
Wear a daffodil? Anything.
Leave me all your will. Anything. Hold me, Bill. What's in fisticuffs?
I'd risk everything for one kiss. Everything. Yes, I'd do anything, anything for you.
I'd do anything for you, dear. Anything for you, me. Everything to me. I know that the heart.
Stop. It's terrible. I've never seen such a miserable bunch in all my life. Are you supposed to be happy or sad?
Happy.
So then why are you all looking so bloody miserable? I want to see some joy in your faces. Right. Jump up and down. Shake it out. Right. Go again. Remember, happy. Liz. Liz.
The council just voted to knock down the Lyric.
What?
They're turning it into a shopping centre.
They can't.
Well, they already have.
Liz beards Mayor Jenkins in the pub.
Mayor
Jenkins, I've just learned that the councillor's bought to turn the Lyric into a shopping centre.
Oh.
Hello, Mrs. Evans.
It's correct.
It was a majority decision.
But you can't do that. A town without a theatre loses its heart. Children without creativity lose hope. Am I right, Dave?
Yes, Liz, you are, yeah.
When I was elected mayor, I promised to bring prosperity to Carmarthen. That's exactly what we're doing.
Bringing chain stores in here will force local shops out of business. It's happening all over the place. Am I right, David?
Yes, Liz, yes.
We made our decision.
I'm putting on another production.
Not the Lyric, you won't. The bulldozers arrive in 2 weeks.
Bulldozers? It's a listed building.
It's a pity, I know. But we've done a preliminary structural report, and it looks like we're going to be forced to condemn the whole building.
I'll fight you in court.
Oh, come on, Liz. You're not going to waste all your family's money on a lawsuit?
Don't try us, Mia.
You can't win.
Maybe not, but I can force you to delay for months, a year even. And how are you going to square that with your developer friends?
All right. You've got a month. If you stay out of the courts. Now,
Tristan, Pete, same again. Right.
All right, can I get 2 pints of lager?
Dave and Liz take a table.
I bet they're all getting kickbacks from the bloody developers. Honestly, love, you were brilliant. There's nothing else you could have done. Listen to me. We are going to make sure the last ever performance of the Lyric is something to remember. I promise you. Right? Come on.
At the Lyric, a man pastes up a poster for Oliver alongside where is pinned a notice of closure sign. Liz sits near the stage where a rehearsal is beginning.
All right, lads, let's gather round now. A little bit of Stevie's warmer. Here we go. Get to the shoulders now. That's it. Get nice and low. Get to that bleed, eh? You know they say, no pain, no gain. That's it. 5 and 6 and 7. And 8. Star jumps. Star jumps. And quarters now. Run to the spot. Drink quarter, eat your heart out. Come on, faster. Jump it, boys. Jump it. And shake it up. New exercise today, shoulder rolls.
Oh, I haven't seen your mum at the salon for a while.
Let's have a little bit of energy. We've got a show to do.
Thanks, Steve. Gather round. Gather round. Nick Jones, chewing gum. Out.
Sorry.
Remember, it's no good just singing the words. You have to feel them and mean it. Understand?
Yes, Liz.
What do you mean I ain't got no manners? I'm a regular gent. Permit to assist you across the road?
Well, I was only going to the palace. Doorman! A cab, if you please.
What are we going to do when they close this place down, miss? It'll be just terrible.
Nothing is going to happen to you, Thopra. I can promise you that.
Shall we show them how it's done?
Yes! Yes! Everything for one kiss. Everything, yes, I do. Anything, anything for you.
Liz punches the air in triumph as the curtain descends on the performance. She now walks sadly through the deserted foyer. She walks amid the red plush seats of the shallowly banked auditorium. In the glow of the stage lights, she gazes sadly around. She walks through the backstage area. In a large dressing room with costume rails, she pours herself a whiskey. She wakes where she lies with her head on a dressing table and again reaches for her whiskey glass. She looks around dismally.
What's wrong with you? Right now, you should be on your way home. Your family. And your pet. Instead, you're here. In the Lilac.
She wipes dust from some old framed pictures of the Lyric. Her face puckers as tears well up. It seems as if an idea has occurred to her. She now dozes, propped up against a large stuffed toy. She now lays full out on a sofa. Dave arrives at the Lyric in morning light, dressed in painter's white overalls.
Liz!
I just crashed out.
Oh, you probably want to have a little shower before you go to work.
I'm not going to work.
Oh, no, you're not feeling sick, are you?
No.
Then go home and have a kip, love. Come on.
No. I feel fine. I'm staying here.
You what?
I'm not going to let them knock this place down.
Liz, look, they made the decision, all right? The builders are arriving this morning.
Then they're going to have to knock it down with me in it.
This is not what we agreed.
We didn't agree anything because I've only just decided to do this. Oh, David.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Liz. You got a home and a family to take care of, you know?
Stop being ridiculous.
Oh, I'm the one being ridiculous, is it? Unbelievable.
Oh, David, carry out.
The bulldozers arrive.
Think you're doing?
We were told the place was vacant.
But does it look vacant to you?
We've got a job to do, love. We need to get out of there.
And you need to get on your bike.
I'll talk to my boss. We'll be back first thing.
And it won't be vacant then either.
I'll call you back. You assured me that that building was empty. What are you talking about? There is a woman in the Lyric Theatre.
What kid you meant to throw her out?
They're construction workers, not bouncers.
I'm out to get the police to do it.
Well, they might want to see a court order, and to get one of those, we might have to answer some awkward questions about why we are trying to demolish a listed building. Do you really want to work with that kind of worms? Look, all my boys need is a day, and that building will be condemned.
All right, all right. Said it's a woman inside the Lyric.
Uh-huh.
I'll talk to her. Your men will be able to start work first thing tomorrow. All right?
They're better.
In the understage dressing room area, Liz continues her dusting and polishing. Alerted by the noises overhead, she hurries out to find Dolly wheeling freestanding hairdryers from the salon onto the stage with its row of brass cockle-shell footlights.
Hello? Dolly? How did you get in?
The old side door.
I thought the council locked that up years ago.
Well, as you always say, Liz, where there's a will, there's a way. I've never paid to see a film here. Don't worry, I shut it behind me. But you're going to need new locks for all the outside doors. I put the word out.
So what are you doing here?
Just because you've taken a principled stand against the depredations of crony capitalism, and to preserve the cultural legacy of our town doesn't mean you have to go out of business. Mrs. Hughes is booked in for a perm at 11. I told her to come straight here.
And she was all right with that?
Thrilled. She's going to be on stage. She's telling all her friends.
Liz! Liz!
Oh, no.
Liz!
It's the mayor.
You said you wouldn't get in our way.
I said I wouldn't take you to court.
Come on, Liz. It's ridiculous. I can't just take over the place.
Well, that's what you're planning to do.
I'm the mayor. My job is to look after the welfare of the people of Carmarthen.
Keep up the good work. Come right in, Mrs. Hughes.
Won't get away with this.
After a brief standoff, his foot in the door, he retracts it and Liz shuts him out. Four ladies sit under hairdryers. Liz's three boys arrive.
Hey, Mum.
Ah.
Hiya, boys.
Hiya.
What's going on?
Thought you might be lonely, Mum.
So did I, but instead I've been run off my feet. What's all this?
Oh, we just bought you a few things, you know, clothes, stuff you might need.
It's marvellous. Thank you.
Mum, you need to talk to Dad, okay? Because he's in a right state.
Well, that's between me and him. It's none of your business.
Well, it is part of our business when you decide to move into a theatre.
Well, your dad's welcome to be part of this. You all are.
Liz.
Wait a minute. Listen, why don't we talk about this later?
Whatever.
Oh, Hugh. You come back later, okay?
Sorry.
All right. Carry tea.
Thank you.
Call Dad.
See you later.
Carry tea, Mum.
Carry tea.
Ta-da, Mum.
Ta-ra.
She sadly watches them go.
Sure you're going to be all right?
I'll be fine.
I'd be happy to stay. Or I could get some mad dog in and get hammered.
Remember, tomorrow morning, don't play, 8 o'clock, first appointment.
All right, ta-ra then.
You want a locker?
I am.
Mr. Morgan arrives.
Oh, yes. Eh? I've been back here for years. I thought you'd like a bit of company.
There's nothing I'd like more.
Yeah. Here, look. How about that? Eh? Come on.
He pulls out a bottle.
Look at this place. It's fantastic, isn't it?
I know. Come through here. There we are, look.
Oh.
I know.
You've got it all set up.
As he sits in the row of salon chairs, Liz flies in a new backdrop.
I fancied a change of scenery.
What is it?
Oh, it's Guys and Dolls.
Oh, grand.
She descends from the flies and, grabbing her drink, comes to sit alongside him.
What's your family think of this, then?
Well, I think for the boys, you know, it's all a big adventure. Mm. They already think I'm a bit bonkers. But for David, it's different. He thinks I've got my priorities all wrong.
It's going to take a while for people to get their heads around what's so important about a broken-down old building like this that they have to turn their lives around to save it. Eh?
Doesn't look like much, does it? Hmm.
You know I used to have a job here.
No.
Yeah? Come on. I'm going to show you something.
Well, come on. Come on. I'm intrigued.
Yeah?
He leads her up a flight of stairs.
Oh, God.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's got a bit short of breath, don't they, you? Eh? I'm all right. Come on.
He flicks on the light in the ancient projection room.
Wow.
It's almost 50 years since I worked here. Well, it hasn't changed much.
So that was before you were a teacher?
Oh, yeah, long before. Yeah. No, I was wounded in the war, and they sent me home, and I got a job here at the new cinema. I must have seen over 100 films in up here.
What was your favourite?
Goodbye, Mr. Chips. You know it?
No.
Oh, it's almost a perfect film. It's tragic, it's sweet, it's funny, it's... But the ending... Oh, the ending's a real tearjerker. Yeah. Robert Donner. He's lying on his deathbed and he's got one regret. That he never had any children of his own. Huh? And he realises he's wrong, see? He's had thousands of them. The thousands of children he's taught and whose lives he's touched. Well, after that I knew I had to become a teacher.
Wouldn't it be great if we could put on a film?
For who?
Anyone. Anyone who wants to come.
Well, I'd be up for it.
How can we get hold of one?
Well, there's nothing here. You remember Mr. Tucker?
Yes, I do. He was my old history teacher.
Yes. Well, we worked in here together.
Oh.
Yeah, he left before I did, and he formed a film club in the town. Now, he shouldn't have done mine, but he kept back a few 35mm prints. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't I go and see him tomorrow? See what he's got.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it? Mm.
That would be amazing.
Shots of old cinema posters, the abandoned office, pieces of machined metal lying on a shelf. A pinboard bears a publicity shot of John Wayne. Liz sits on a large brass bed as it disappears slowly down into the orchestra pit on some kind of theatrical lift. Touching down in the understage area, she slings her towel over her arm and crosses to a basin. The screen goes black. The hills in the surrounding countryside are pictured covered in snow. The snow has now melted, leaving the hills patched with cloud shadows. A valley and other vistas are now pictured in warm sunshine. traffic crosses the river bridge into the town. In a suburb overlooking Carmarthen, Richard Goodridge is doing his post round.
My name is Hopkins. Have you dazed it?
Rubbish men haven't been again this week. And Andy's organising.
Same problem. I'll talk to the mayor about it today, OK?
Your father would have had this sorted by now. What are you saying?
Have a good day.
Richard continues on his way, putting post through the doors of modest terraces of painted houses. At the Lyric, Liz's boys arrive to find a man working on the lock of the front door.
All right.
Hi.
I'm Di. Nick's my boy.
Hiya. I thought you were banged up.
Well, I'm out on parole, I am. Thought I'd make myself a bit useful. And there's not a lot I don't know about locks.
Ah, oh, cheers, Di.
Thank you.
Bye.
He holds the door open for the three boys.
Can you believe they want to tear all this down?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Mum, I know how much this place means to you, but the truth is, it's just a cinema. A cold, drafty cinema that mainly shows films that nobody wants to see.
I thought you were with me on this.
We are with you, Mum. Turning this place into a shopping centre would be a crime, and I'm sure it's being done for all the wrong reasons. But unless you can show the people why it's so important, then maybe a shopping centre's what they deserve.
I've got more faith in people than that.
Yeah, Mum. You'll figure it out.
Right.
Ooh.
Front, back, side. No one's getting in you don't want in.
Thank you so much. How much do I owe you?
No. Least I can do. What you've done for Nick, I've never seen him happier. And I might have found myself a new line of work.
The demolition crew return.
I'm still here.
But the structural surveyor says the building is unsafe.
And I've had professional builders in here, ones who've not been paid off by the mayor and his developer friend, who say it's perfectly sound. Oh, and if you see the mayor, you can ask him why he let his daughter perform on stage less than a week ago, if he thought it was unsafe or dangerous. Oh, just so you know, I'm not on my own in here anymore. Piss off!
Guess that means you're not planning to leave anytime soon.
Good guess.
Goodridge enters Jenkins's office.
Morning, Mayor. We really need to sort out this bin problem.
I know. We've got a meeting with the union next week. Right now, I've got bigger problems with the Lyric. Ugh. Liz Evans is refusing to budge.
Everyone was talking about that on my rounds this morning.
God. What were they saying?
Just that she's not budging. You know, she's doing people's hair in there. Right up on the stage, it's...
Interesting. The Lyric is licensed as a place of entertainment, not as a hair salon. If we can prove that she's working there illegally, we can get the police to kick her out.
Think a few perms and the highlights are worth a police raid?
Well, they don't have to go in their guns a-blazing like in the movies, Richard. We just need to serve her with a legal notice to quit, but we need proof. They're not going to let me anywhere near the place. You, on the other hand?
No, I'm not much of a spy, Mayor.
Oh, everybody knows you, Richard.
I don't think it's...
You're their postman. A couple of photos of what they're doing is all we need.
Go on. A couple of photos. Right. Yes. Just a couple of photos.
He knocks at Susan's door.
Hiya. I was wondering if one evening you might fancy a drink.
I don't think so, Councillor.
I promise I won't bore you with my Welsh medieval history stories, too.
You know, I thought you were a nice guy until you voted to turn the Lyric into a shopping centre. How much are they paying you?
Nothing.
What do you mean?
I know he and his cronies are corrupt. I know they're getting kickbacks. What's your excuse?
Richard leaves, crestfallen.
All right. Here you go, lovely. There we go. Take that over here.
Look at that.
You don't want one, Liz?
What is it?
Oh, it's my experimental cocktail. 3 parts brandy, 2 parts rum, tomato juice, and a splash of vodka.
Sounds horrible.
Oh, it's good.
That's where
you're wrong.
Goes down like a homesick mole, doesn't it?
Dolly, take over for a minute.
Yeah, of course.
Dave appears in the aisle.
Hi. Hiya. You right? Is there somewhere we can talk?
She nods. Now, as someone hoovers up in the stalls, they sit hugging close in the gallery.
You know, I was thinking, I think our first ever kiss was right here.
No. It's right there. In fact, and I certainly remember it. How can you not love this place? It's part of our history.
Yeah. Guess the world has moved on, Libby.
What's bothering you?
A lot of the men need the work, Lev. It's years of employment being offered to build a shopping centre. Look, nobody wants to see youth opera closed. They just... Well, it's just a building, isn't it?
No. No, it's not. The lyric is staying.
Mr. Morgan arrives at the front door. He holds up film canisters.
There you go. I got it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, take this. It's heavy, mate.
Okay. What is it?
How Green Was My Valley.
How Green Was My Valley?
Yeah. It's a classic. You must have seen it.
Well, I read the book at school. Is that all Mr. Tucker asked?
Yeah, pretty much, but it's perfect. Yeah, it was made in 1941.
So it's in black and white?
Of course, yeah. Now, look at this. See that? Directed by John Ford. Now, he's the one that gave us Stagecoach, The Searchers, Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, but this is the only one that won the Oscar for Best Picture and Best Director.
Oh, well, I'm not sure the kids are going to want to see this.
Oh, we don't have to worry about them. Oh.
Don't we?
No. Young people are busy making their own history. It's only when you get to a certain age you realise that memories are the most precious thing in the world. And that's before you get to the age when you realise that memory is the only thing you have left. Look at this place.
He steps through into the auditorium.
I mean, look at this place, huh? This place holds so many memories for so many people in this town. And they're the ones who get behind you when they realize what they're about to lose.
Well, we better let them know it's on then.
I think we should.
Liz rests her head on Morgan's shoulder. The kids print off handbills announcing how green was my valley, handing them down the line to the last of their group who hangs them on a rack to dry. Mr. Morgan takes a reel of film from its can and mounts it into one of the huge vintage Peerless projectors. Two elderly people stand at a bus stop. A small bus pulls up and a bunch of kids get out bearing handbills for the movie, which they offer to the old folk. Other kids, including Liz's boys, post flyers through letterboxes in town. Hugh hands more out to passers-by. Mr. Morgan continues setting up the projector. People, mainly quite elderly, flock to the cinema. Morgan peers through the projection room window. Richard arrives in the foyer.
Excuse me, do you know what's on?
Liz is showing how green was my valley for 3 years.
He sticks his head through the velvet curtains and then enters the auditorium.
I am packing my belongings in the shawl my mother used to wear when she went to the market. And I am going from my valley. This time, I shall never return. I am leaving behind me my 50 years of memory. Memory. Strange that the mind will forget so much of what only this moment is past, and yet hold clear and bright the memory of what happened years ago, of men and women long since dead. Yet who shall say what is real and what is not? Can I believe my friends are gone, when their voices are still a glory in my ears? No, and I will stand to say no and no again, for they remain a living truth within my mind. There is no fence nor hedge round time that is gone, and the valley would ring with the sound of many voices. For singing is in my people as sight is in the eye.
An elderly lady has called Richard to sit by her. Mark now stands to join in the singing. Hugh and Wyn join him and encourage Liz and Dave to get to their feet.
Mum, Dad, come on,
Morgan turns up the volume in the projection room as dozens more people rise to sing.
Sentimental claptrap, innit? I can't help myself.
The man who dismissed it as claptrap is played by the Go Compare tenor, who now stands and gives it his all.
Songs of praises, songs of praises.
still, real in memory as they were in flesh, loving and beloved forever. How green was my valley then.
The old lady sat by Richard pats his hand as he seems to recall his own father. Gareth, the left-wing councillor, sheds a tear, as now does Richard likewise. The final frames of the movie play, followed by the end card. There seems not to be a dry eye in the house. The old lady by Richard kicks off the applause. The audience stand, all bar Gareth. Aled, his neighbour, sits back down, turning to him challengingly.
What? Yankee sugar-coated bullshit. Does T.V. Miner singing like Disney dwarves? Are victims of capitalist exploitation.
Have you no bloody soul? It's a celebration of a way of life.
Aled stands back up.
They seem to like it. Miserable sod.
I saw a tear in your eye during some of those scenes.
They're very dusty in
there. Aye, aye. We can agree to disagree about Hollywood's depiction of Welsh culture, but that's the point of the arts, isn't it? They cause controversy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's why we've got to join the fight to save this place from that sleazeball of a mayor. I mean, a new Woolworths doesn't spark much debate, does it?
Well, the kicker makes sense.
Congratulations to both of you.
I thought that went really well, eh?
Fabulous.
Yeah, I love the singing. Did you hear me? I was obsessed.
No.
Yes, yes. I took a solo.
Why don't you come by tomorrow night for dinner? We'll work out what we're going to put on next.
Yeah, I'd like that.
As audience members emerge into the darkness and the Welsh rain, Tom Jenkins peers through the windscreen of his car parked across the street.
Get me S.I. Roberts on the phone.
Now in daylight, police arrive mob-handed at the Lyric. A grey-bearded officer raps at the door.
Yes.
This is a warrant for your arrest.
Locking the door, she hurries back to her boys.
Go back. Go back. Inside. Inside.
The police force entry.
Good. Let me know the minute the building is totally cleared.
Susan eavesdrops, then hurries away.
Suzanne? Suzanne!
Suzanne! You know, we need to get social services, don't you? But right away, two minors at least, and there's nothing we can do about it until...
I'm coming, counsel.
Susan runs in.
Stop what you're doing!
Who are you?
The lawyer. Sorry I'm late.
You can tell your client I've got the bank to rights.
Bank to rights? You've been watching too many police dramas. Okay, criminal trespass and operating an unlicensed business. And the complaint was brought by USG Screens?
I represent USG. My clients lease this building.
Excellent. Do you have a copy of the lease with you? Thank you. Paragraph 15, Section C, Subsection 3, grants access to employees of the Town Council.
She flashes her card.
See?
Well, we won't be arresting you then, but they're coming with me.
No, no, not me.
It's okay. Look at me. Look at me. Paragraph 26, section D, subsection 4. The stage of the Lyric Theatre will be made available to the Carmarthen Youth Opera up to 4 times a year. They are the principals of the Carmarthen Youth Opera.
It's them. I saw them in Jesus Christ Superstar. It was brilliant.
We still got them on operating an unlicensed business.
Oh, ma'am, please.
Have you ever been to a theatre before, officer? That is a set.
For what?
Hairspray.
You saw the film of that, yeah? Debbie Harry was in it. I was on my own mind, but it was brilliant.
I suggest you release everyone without charges and leave right now. Or you can tell the world in open court that you arrested a bunch of actors for being on a stage.
Thank you.
Liz and Dolly have their handcuffs removed.
And we'll need that front door fixed by the morning.
They did it.
So sue them.
As the police withdraw, Susan runs up onto the stage, beaming. A dining table has been set up on the stage.
Have you boys heard the story of how your mum and dad fell in love on stage?
Only about 100 times.
Stella!
That's you, that is. Well, it's Brangle.
I have always depended on the kindness of strangers.
That was pretty good.
Do it like that.
I think you did, ma'am.
Hey, you got him. He's pretty good, isn't he? You've seen the film? You seen the film?
I haven't seen the film, no.
Marlon Brando. Stella!
So, have you ever acted then, Mr. Morgan?
Yeah, well, in my dreams. Yeah. Must be wonderful, eh? Stand on a stage, look out at the audience and know you've got them in the palm of your hand, eh? Must be the best feeling in the world.
I love it.
A bit like teaching, you know, standing in front of a class.
Ketchup,
you boys liked the film last night?
Yeah, we did. I mean, it was a bit cheesy, but towards the end...
How green was my valley? Cheesy.
It was all in black and white.
I've heard it all now.
So, what are we going to put on next?
Well, whatever it is, it'll have to be something popular. You know, because this place has got to work as a business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be a struggle to keep open.
I agree. It's got to be something that'll bring the kids in. You know, your friends.
Something new.
Something new?
Something new.
Yes.
Such as, come on.
I haven't got a clue.
Let's call in the morning.
Well, that was a wonderful evening. Thanks so much, eh?
I'd be happy to run you home.
Oh, no. Listen, could you bring those cans of film for me sometime? Yeah? No urgency, you know.
Tomorrow, on the way back from work.
Yeah, all right. Nostar. Nostar.
Nostar.
Nostar.
Ta-da, Mum. Can I eat it?
You'll be right now.
Make sure they go to bed.
Yeah, I will, don't I?
You know.
Yeah, I know.
No television.
Okay. Nostar.
Nostar. Right, Mr. Morgan.
Bye-bye.
Morgan disappears into mist at one end of the alleyway while Dave and the boys go the other way.
Right. Let's get your boys home then, yeah? Look after them, will you?
Liz goes back inside the cinema and to her understage living area. She sits on a sofa reading an old programme. Time passes. She turns on hearing the door behind her. It's Dave with flowers.
I thought you'd gone home.
Look, I just wanted to come back and, ask your forgiveness.
For what?
Forever doubting you. You proved to me. Well, not just to me, to everyone. That this place is worth fighting for. Look, I should have been all in from the beginning, I know. And I am now. And forever.
Oh, David.
Her heels lift off the floor as she kisses him.
I love you.
I love you, darling.
You're very expensive.
Oh, best from the garage.
Hugh and Mark arrive at the cinema at a run.
Mum! 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 Look at this. Look.
It's a trade magazine, right? We sent off for it, and it's got a list of all the films that are going to come out.
Yeah, look at the film. That's the one with Tom Cruise in it. That'd be really good.
Or Free Willy. That looks even better.
Jurassic Park. With Steven Spielberg. Oh, I think it's about dinosaurs.
Oh, I've read the book. Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, so they find these mosquitoes that have been trapped in amber for, like, millions of years. But before they died, the mosquitoes had bitten dinosaurs and had the dinosaur blood in them. So they get the dinosaur blood out to the mosquitoes, they sequence the dino DNA...
Stop it! You're going to spoil it for us! So, what do we think? Do we think this is going to be a hit?
You're joking, Mum.
Mum, it's going to be massive.
It's going to be the biggest ever.
Liz, I paid to see it.
Jurassic Park needs to be the next film that we show at the Lyric.
How are we going to pull that off?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
A van drives along a lane in front of a line of stone cottages and pulls up. It is signed on the side, Die Tomorrow, like a Welsh name, for your job today. Dave gets out, lugging the two film canisters. Dave makes his way with the canisters along a pathway overlooking the sea and walks up to the front door of a white-painted house.
Mr. Morgan? Jay Evans?
He peers through a front window.
Mr. Morgan?
He goes to look through another window. He goes around the side.
Oh, there you are. I got your film cans. I can't stay long if the van's badly parked. Mr. Morgan?
Morgan, on a bench, is clearly dead.
Please, no. Mr. Morgan?
A small chapel is beautifully framed in a tranquil rural setting. Wynne Evans is one of a group reciting Dylan Thomas.
Because their words had forked no lightning. They did not go gentle into that good night. Good men. The last wave by. Crying. How bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay.
Rage against the dying of the light.
Wild men. Who caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late. They grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night.
You're sure they're all there?
Absolutely sure.
And you?
As far as I can tell.
My father.
Right.
There.
So is it?
Give me Martin or Bird on the phone.
Putting him through on line one.
Martin, it's empty. Empty for how long?
For however long a funeral and dress loin takes.
Well, it's going to take the best part of an hour to get the men and the heavy equipment there. So do it.
Susan eavesdrops, then hurries away.
Rage against the dying of the light.
Now let us all join together to celebrate the life of Howard Morgan.
The demolition crew mobilise.
First and foremost, Mr. Morgan was a teacher. He taught hundreds of boys and girls in Carmarthen. I was one of them. He inspired us all. But the most important thing he taught me, and he taught all of us, is that this place, its history, its identity, its culture, its people, makes us who we are. Makes us what we are.
He's called the builders.
Who? Morgan spent his
the
life
mayor.
In Carmarthen.
He said to bring their
heavy equipment. We all know he travelled the world.
How long?
The arts.
Why do you care?
How long do they get to the Lyric?
The Lyric?
An hour. That was 30 minutes ago.
We should all, every one of us, be proud of our community and our heritage. As this community is threatened, now more than ever, we need to honour his legacy and continue his fight. With Howard Morgan's passing, it is our turn to stand on the shoulders of a giant of a man. It's our turn to save the soul of our community. It's our turn to rage against the dying of the light.
Oh, come on, Dad. We'll fight
faster.
We're not going to make it in time. Ducky, come on.
Richard races back to town on his little motorbike while Dave drives the family in a van. Meanwhile, by the Lyric, a wrecking ball is hoisted up. Richard swerves over the pavement by the cinema frontage, now behind safety fencing. He then powers down the side alley, running into one of the crew. He vaults a barrier, clambers up onto the heavy crane truck, and after a moment's consideration, makes a daring leap to cling to the wrecking ball itself.
Come on! What the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm stopping you from doing something that will affect the lives of everyone who lives here.
Don't turn up to a bridge! Get down from there!
No! What? I'm not letting you destroy the Lyric!
You voted for it, you plum!
It's a dreadful mistake! Listening to you, I made a dreadful mistake!
Get him down from there, now!
What on earth are you doing up there, Richard?
I don't know. But I'm part of the town council now, so...
I don't care! It doesn't put you above the law!
Tell that to bloody him!
If you don't move, I'm going to have to arrest you!
Get him down! Go. Get him down!
The crane driver winches Richard down to level with the policewoman.
Be my guest.
I do not have to say anything.
There you go.
Unless you wish to do so. But what you say may be given in evidence.
You're going to have to arrest all of us. Starting with me.
Come on, woman, do your job. Arrest them.
Hello, Wendy.
Minister.
Oh, Christ. Subject of Christ, our saviour. You're going to have to arrest me as well.
Go on, Father. As mayor of Carmarthen, I'm ordering you to do your job.
I don't work for you, Mayor Jenkins. I work for the people of Carmarthen.
So do I.
I don't think so. I think you work for him. Right, you lot, get this machine out of here now. I don't want to see you here again without a court order. Understand?
This is ridiculous. You
tell him. Right, let's go. Come on.
To Richard.
And I'm letting you off with a warning. Pick a side and stick with it.
You're going to get a firmly worded letter from me!
Drink go on! The cocktails for everyone!
Richard and Susan share a look.
Well, it seems I misjudged you.
Go on.
Come on. It was very brave of you to jump on top of a 10,000-pound wrecking ball.
Really?
£10,000?
Well, give or take. Huh. I saw it and I couldn't think of anything else to do.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
But you know, there is something else you could do.
At the printing press.
I don't know the first thing about being a bloody mayor.
But I do, and I'll help you. You know, win or lose, you know, this could be a platform to get our message out. Be a game changer.
Right.
I need one of these to go through every letterbox in Carmarthen.
Right.
Oh, I can do that, can't I?
Oh, no. You're excused from the postman duties today. Instead, you are going down to the Herald offices. Lynn is expecting you at 15 minutes. And then, at 3 o'clock, BBC Radio Wales wants to interview you.
Interview?
Yeah. You'll be fine.
Bloody Goodrich. This is absurd.
All I know is there's thousands of them. In people's letterboxes, stacked lampposts, bus shelters.
All right, I get the idea, but he's not even on the ballot.
There's a space where you can write in a new candidate's name.
Well, who's going to do that?
I've also heard that Aled and Derek have withdrawn from the election, and they're supporting him.
Oh, that's 6 votes for the bloody idiot right there. I'm trembling.
He's given interviews to the Herald. He's on the radio. You need to respond.
He's making this all about the Lyric. Nobody cares about that old ruin.
At the cinema, Susan stuffs envelopes. Dolly enters.
Oh. Morning, Liz. Are you right, Susan? So, how's it going on the dinosaur front?
The distributor gave us a flat no. They won't give a copy to a cinema that's to be demolished. Etc, etc. So, I've decided to go straight to the top.
Who's at the top?
Dear Mr. Spielberg, my name is Liz Evans, and I run a youth theatre group in Carmarthen, Wales. We put on our performances in the Lyric. an Art Deco building that was turned into a cinema in 1935. The town council, in its wisdom, wants to knock down the building and replace it with a shopping centre. Now, that's as far as I've got for now, but I'm going to go on and explain how showing Jurassic Park will help save the Lyric.
Oh, I've got some of the mayor's stationery. It'll look more official if you send it on this. And then I'll intercept any letters coming in from America.
Marvellous.
On my rounds as a postman, every day people talk to me about their issues, you see. Bin collection, transport, parking, schooling. A lot of them have ideas about how to improve our lives in Carmarthen. Now, if I'm elected mayor, my most important job will be to listen to them. Every single one of them.
He's a natural.
It's still odds on for Tom to win, mind. So we got to get everyone we can out to vote.
Radio, here I come.
A radio plays on the bar of the pub.
A lot of people have read about your heroics in the campaign to save the Lyric Theatre.
Richard Goodrich is just the postman. Yes? I'm the mayor.
Jenkins sits with three of his cronies.
I'm very proud of my community. We're both very proud of its history.
Jenkins pointedly switches the radio off. An aerial shot shows the pleasant green of the countryside bordering the town. The portico of the cinema is shown in daylight. Liz, in her improvised onstage salon, combs hair from a brush with a preoccupied air. Dolly appears.
You all right?
Still nothing from Mr. Spielberg.
I'm sure he's busy promoting his new film. Besides, it's only been a couple of months.
If we can't find a way to get people to come here again and start spending money, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Hey, like you say this, yeah? Where there's a will, there's a way. Hey, look at what you've achieved so far. Some of those people here that other night, they hadn't left their house for weeks. They hadn't seen each other in years. You brought them back together. The Lyric is important. And you will find a way to keep it going. Right?
Right.
Now, get out there and vote. I want to see the look on Tom Jenkins' face when he's booted out of his office.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We need you. Chin up.
Dolly lets go of Liz's hands and walks off.
Dolly. You go and get me a whiskey and baby shower.
Ooh, coming up. A double. Do you want one as well? Do you fancy one?
I'll have one, why not?
Yes, come on, let's go.
Mayor Jenkins magnanimously shakes Richard's hand where they stand on the stage of a hall. A robed official appears.
As clerk of the town council, I declare that in the election for mayor of Carmarthen, the votes cast were as follows.
Jenkins smirks.
For Tom Jenkins, 4,617. For Richard Goodrich, 4,711.
Susan gives Richard a huge hug. Jenkins holds up his hands in Trumpian denial. Richard now hangs his degree certificate on the wall of the mayoral office.
Call for you on line one.
Thank you.
Right.
Hello, Mayor Goodrich. Mayor Goodrich.
Red then green.
Oh, I'm doing that. Hello, Mayor Goodrich.
Red then green.
Hello.
Hello?
Mayor Goodrich.
Hello, this is Jennifer Costas from Amblin Pictures in Los Angeles. Hello?
Right, good.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
I'm calling about the Lyric Theater. I passed on the letter that you and Mrs. Evans wrote to Mr. Spielberg, and I just thought I'd call you myself and relay the information.
Well, thank you.
Because, well, it's not every day I can call a real live mayor. Mr. Mayor, yes.
That's me.
Yes?
The mayor of Carmarthen, Wales.
Carmarthen, Wales? It sounds so romantic. But where in the world is it?
It's in Wales.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sure it's very beautiful. Listen, are you and Mrs. Evans free to speak in an hour?
Free in an hour? I don't
think... Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes,
great.
Yes, yes, we are. Yes.
Great.
I'll speak to you in an hour, then.
Bye-bye.
Oh. Unbelievable.
The payphone in the theatre lobby rings. Dolly rushes out from the stalls.
Hello. Scissors and Combs, Dolly speaking. You having me on? You're joking. All right. She'll be there. Okay, bye. Bye.
Calling on a payphone.
No! He's calling the mayor's office in half an hour!
Now, hang on. What about my hair? This is peroxide.
Oh, I can have a go.
No offence, Dolly, but there's only one woman that does my hair, and it's you, Liz Evans.
Liz hurries across the stone bridge across the river, her client hobbling along behind her, wheeling a piece of salon equipment like a patient with a drip stand. Liz works on her hair in Richard's office.
Stay calm, stay calm. Hello, Mayor Goodrich.
This is Steven Spielberg. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, too. But you should be speaking with Liz Evans. She's the one leading the campaign to try and save the Lyric Theatre.
Shall I call back?
No, she's right here. I'll pass you over to her now. Okay.
Liz takes the phone in her rubber-gloved hands as if it might bite her and puts it gingerly to her ear.
Hello? This is Liz Evans.
Mrs. Evans, it sounds like you're in the middle of a hell of a fight.
I am. Can you believe they want to knock down an Art Deco building and put up a shopping centre?
So you want Jurassic Park?
Yes, please, Mr. Spielberg. I think showing your new film would really help save the Lyric. It would be tremendous.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to send you my personal copy and you can put it on 3 minutes after the London premiere starts. How's that?
Oh, my God. It doesn't seem real. I don't know what to say. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Spielberg.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Your
okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye. Going to give us the film.
You're joking.
He's going to give us the film.
Outside, broadcast vans are parked up by the Lyric. Inside, Susan and Liz admire Richard in his red mayoral robes and chain of office.
Well,
you look great.
Amazing.
I feel a bit of a...
No. Honestly.
Sure.
Really handsome. Your hat. No, just carry it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Let's
knock him dead.
Okay.
They go out to meet the press.
Liz, can you tell us where we're going to see you?
Now, here she is. Look.
Yay! Steven Spielberg, of all people.
At first, beautiful I didn't ladder. Believe it, you know. I thought that Richard and Dolly were playing joke on me.
She said Dolly. She
it
said
really was him. It was Steven Spielberg. He's giving the Lyric his personal copy of his new film.
Gosh. Liz, thanks very much. You. And it's back to you in the studio.
Back to studio. Yes. Well done, ma'am.
Well done, ma'am.
Good.
Oh, cool. You like it?
Hiya.
Hey, Susan.
So I found a few of these in storage.
In the town hall. They're from when Prince Charles visited 10 years ago. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I thought we might be able to use them for the premiere. Yay. It's going to be great.
Is anyone famous coming?
No, but because it's the people's premiere, why don't we all just pretend to be celebrities?
All right, you're really going to get to school now. Come on.
You got to go. Give us one of those crisps.
Don't whinge. How's Richard?
Oh, he's great. He's on his way to London. Channel 4 was so impressed with his interviews yesterday, they've asked him to be on The Big Breakfast.
No.
He's going to be in bed.
What? No, it's a
dinner. Yeah, that's how they do it on The Big Breakfast. Yeah. The guests get into bed with the presenter and she asks some questions.
Do you have any on?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Give me those crisps.
You should pop by tomorrow and we'll watch it together in the morning.
All right.
Richard arrives at Carmarthen Station with his robes in a suit bag. The train heads east, hugging the coastline. The others watch The Big Breakfast in the Lyric Auditorium.
I don't think we've ever had a real live mare in bed before. I'm just yanking your chair.
She's flirting with him.
Is it real gold?
Mm-hmm. That's how they do it on their show.
So you talked to Steven Spielberg?
Yes, just for a moment. Then I passed him on to Liz Evans. She's the one leading the campaign to save the Lyric Theatre in Carmarthen. It's her passion and her energy that really got Stephen behind the project at all.
Passion and energy? I like the sound of that. What is it, or should I ask, who is it you're passionate about, Richard?
I think... I hope... they know who they are.
He looks directly to camera. Liz looks at Susan, who blushes and flaps a hand at her.
I'll see you after the break. Richard! Richard! Hello!
Hello!
There he is.
Thank
you. Local star.
You saw it then?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Well, one of the strangest experiences of my life, but I think I said everything I wanted to. So.
You were great this morning.
Thank you.
You really were.
Thank you. Place looks amazing. Oh, speaking of which, boys, look what I've got. From London. What are they? Massive inflatable dinosaurs.
Thanks. Whoa.
Thank you.
Susan appears and crosses to him.
Hiya.
Hey. Hello. How's the, your office?
Everything's under control.
Lovely.
Do you remember asking whether I'd like to go for a drink with you sometime? Well, I've thought about it some more, and I've decided I would.
You would? Fantastic. When?
Now?
Now? Now?
Look.
At the bar.
Hi, little thank
Hello.
You. Now, get these down you and tell me what you think.
Oh, okay. Can I ask what it is?
Oh, you can. So, for this occasion, I've invented a range of prehistoric cocktails. Uh-huh. That is a T-Rex Dizzy.
Clever.
And that is a Velociraptor.
Oh, right, and what's in it?
You don't want to know.
Okay, well, yachida.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
They intertwine their arms and sip their cocktails through straws.
Oh, that straw.
Oh, it's lovely. No, it's lovely. Yeah. Smashing.
I'll be back now.
I wasn't sure if you saw the whole...
She grabs him by the lapels of his tweed overcoat and kisses him passionately on the lips. His expression is one of bewildered delight. Hugh and Wynne manhandle an almost life-size inflatable T-Rex into position in the cinema foyer. A Jurassic Park logoed Range Rover license plate T-Rex pulls up by the Lyric and a reporter gets out.
Well, they promised me a limo, but I've ended up in this. Good afternoon to you. Now, minutes after the premiere in London, the people of Carmarthen are about to enjoy one of the first screenings of Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park.
you join me right in the heart of Carmarthen. It's right in the city.
Now, here in Carmarthen, there are no freebies for the rich and the famous. Everyone's got to buy their own ticket. The cost, £2.50, or half price for children. Doesn't seem to have stopped anybody coming out, though. Let's have a word with a few of them. Who have we got here? Hello, and you are?
Hello, Mavis, Mavis Jones.
And Mavis, do you live in Carmarthen?
Yes, I've lived here all my life, but I work in Tesco's on Pensarb Road.
Right. And are you looking forward to seeing the film?
Yes, very much so. Steven Spielberg.
So, Mavis, enjoy the film. And with that, it's back to you in the studio.
The combination of Princess Diana and dinosaurs is obviously dynamite, so Leicester Square came to a complete halt this evening as inside the Princess of Wales greeted Sir Richard Attenborough, who plays the owner of Jurassic Park. Steven Spielberg himself has suggested that children under 13 shouldn't be allowed to see what some have called Jaws with Claws.
Oh, yeah? We've got all the big wigs in tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for coming.
We're going to set out a...
I've got an idea.
All right.
Dave follows Liz as she hurries away.
It's only right that the people of Carmarthen should see Jurassic Park first.
Right.
Not the London people.
So what do you think, eh?
Us.
She gestures to the foyer clock.
Go on.
He nudges it forward 5 minutes.
Come on.
The townsfolk in Carmarthen and North Wales say nothing ever happens in their town, and their theatre never gets new films like Jurassic Park. But this year, they took a stand. They appealed directly to director Steven Spielberg to arrange to have the film make its debut in Wales, their humble hamlet. And it worked. Spielberg cut through the red tape and arranged to get the theatre a print of the film for the premiere. It's a story with a happy ending. Residents say it is the most exciting thing to happen in years.
The whole Evans family prepare to go in.
Let's go to a premiere.
They sit in the packed auditorium as the projector throws onto the screen the opening frames of the credits. Liz and Dave check their watches.
We did it.
The title appears on the screen, followed by brooding footage of storm-racked palm trees. A starburst of beams of light shift magically as they emerge from the bright point formed by the projection room window. The screen shows a pelican flying low over dark rippled sea. Dave and Liz share a look. Richard decides to go for it and puts his arm around Susan's shoulders. She beams in delight. Dolly, her hair done up in Mickey Mouse ears, smiles radiantly as she drinks from a plastic beaker. Liz now gazes up at the screen, her eyes brimming with tears. The camera focuses in on Liz's face until it entirely fills the frame, her expression one of delight, triumph and hope. The screen goes black. A caption reads, "The first British screening of Jurassic Park played at the Lyric Cinema Carmarthen on the 15th of July 1993, 3 minutes before the London premiere." Because of Liz, a passion for the arts still lives in the children of Carmarthen today, and the Lyric continues to be their home. Richard Goodridge hung up his mayor's robes but continued as everyone's favourite postman for 35 years. Liz inspired her sons to pursue their dreams. Hugh is a human rights barrister living in the Turks and Caicos Islands. Mark is a baritone with the English National Opera and founder of ABC of Opera. Wynne is a principal with the Welsh National Opera and better known as the Go Compare Man. In memory of Liz Evans, MBE 1944-2004. The end.